Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Quality Power Electrical Equipment Limited Q4 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Nidhi Shah. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thanks. On behalf of ICICI Securities, I would like to welcome you all to the Q4 Quality Power Electrical Equipment Limited conference call. Today, from the management side, we have Mr. Bharanidhar Pandian, the Joint Managing Director, Mr. Rajesh Jeyaraman, the CFO, Mr. Sarika Jadhav, Senior VP Finance, and Mr. Sachin Shetty, VP Finance. First, we will have opening comments from the management, post which we will have a Q&A session. Over to you, sir and ma'am.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Bharanidhar Pandian from Quality Power. First and foremost, let me begin by expressing my heartfelt gratitude to each of you this evening and our valued investors. Over this past few months, we have navigated through challenging and turbulent times together, especially when our share prices touched historic lows. Your unwavering patience, belief, and trust in us and our management team have deeply touched us, reinforcing our commitment to delivering on your faith. From the bottom of my heart, thank you for standing by us. At Quality Power, we remain passionately dedicated to innovation and technological excellence. This year has seen us achieve significant milestones. We have successfully type-tested the world's largest three-phase MSR at about 200 MVAr power. We have also done type-testing of HVDC converter reactors for a Western market for a global customer, and we have passed all the tests and type tests in the first attempt. These accomplishments place us among a very select global group, reinforcing our technical edge and moat over competitors across the world. Moreover, we are currently in advanced negotiations for several international HVDC and FACTS projects, and we anticipate sharing more positive developments in the coming few quarters. Our commitment to growth is clearly reflected in our expanding global footprint. We have successfully onboarded notable new customers and utilities from Sweden, Finland, Iraq, Romania, Italy, Brazil, South Korea, Hong Kong, Australia, and across the Middle East, further diversifying our reach and strengthening our global reputation. The strategic partnership with Meru has flourished remarkably, bringing substantial domestic and international orders. The order book at Meru has surged beyond 350 crores in the last few months, clearly demonstrating the confidence the customers have in this alliance. Customer response has been highly positive, and we are actively integrating teams across the organizations to optimize synergies and deliver greater value. We continue to invest deeply in the future, steadily enhancing our R&D capabilities and building a strong bench of technical talent in anticipation of forthcoming expansions. The recent geopolitical developments concerning Turkey have naturally drawn your attention. I want to reassure you, as a part of the top management, we are proactively managing the situation. We are maintaining transparent communication with all stakeholders in India, including our employees, customers, suppliers, and shareholders. Prominent investors in Turkey, along with us, include reputed names like Birla, Mahindra, Dabur, TAFE, Jubilant, Redington, among others. Our exposure right now remains very minimal with Turkey and vice versa with Endox. We have less than 8 crores of pending offers from our Turkish subsidiary to Indian customers and less than 5 crores from Indian companies to our Turkish customers, which are minuscule, and these engagements are purely industrial with very, very minimal local competition. Our morale and operations at this current moment in all the countries remain stable. Our Turkish operation also serves largely global markets, currently executing projects in Australia, Burkina Faso, Morocco, among others. Hence, we do not anticipate a very large-scale backlash at this moment. However, our risk committee continues diligent oversight to manage and mitigate any related concerns, if any. Looking ahead, our strong consolidated order backlog at this quarter stands almost close to 750 crores, positioning us confidently for the sustained growth over the next few years. The ongoing CapEx at our Sanghi facility will not only make it one of the largest coil factories in the world, but also potentially the most sustainable. We are actively pursuing a IGBC gold or a platinum certification to underscore our commitment to sustainability. At Nehru, the planned CapEx is on track and expected to deliver shortly about 45% additional capacity in the next 4 to 5 months. Overall, our production capacity in Sangli will increase nearly ninefold within the next 18 months, with robust order booking anticipated to commence within 6 to 9 months. Additionally, our inorganic growth strategy is advancing rapidly with several strategic acquisition opportunities under careful evaluation. We remain disciplined and prudent, prioritizing accurate valuations, product alignment, and strong cultural synergy. Lastly, as promoters, we have consciously and transparently decided to waive off our dividend, amounting to approximately 5 crores, to conserve vital capital during this crucial investment cycle. We trust our results, our recent results, align with your expectations and remain committed to continual improvement in performance. Once again, I thank you and deeply thank you for your steadfast belief, continued support and partnership. Together, we believe we are embarking on an exciting journey towards an even brighter future. Thank you. Jai Hind. Now I give the dais to Mr. Rajesh Jayaraman, our CFO.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you, Mr. Bharanidharan, for setting the tone so powerfully. And to our investors, thank you for being with us on this journey. It is just not the capital we value, but your belief, especially during the most testing times. It is that trust which makes today's progress truly meaningful. FY25 has been a pivotal year for Quality Power. I am pleased to share that we closed the year with an 18% growth in revenue, reaching 392 crores and up 74% growth in profit after tax to ₹101 crores. These are not just numbers. They reflect the resilience of our people, the relevance of our products, and the strength of the strategy we have put into motion. Our reserves have grown fourfold, and net debt has come down by 77%, putting us in a significantly stronger position to pursue growth without compromising financial discipline. Our cash and bank balances now stand at nearly ₹210 crores, giving us both confidence and optionality as we invest ahead. Working capital was a core focus. Through tighter control on receivables and smarter inventory planning, we have strengthened operating cash flows, which are now robust enough to fund our CapEx internally without stretching the balance sheet. We have made disciplined investments this year. Sangli and Cochin are transforming into high-capacity, sustainable hubs. Meru 2 is scaling with a 45% capacity expansion expected to go live shortly. These investments are strategic, not just in terms of growth, but in technology, depth, and global readiness. To supplement our capital position, the promoters have extended a ₹125 crore stock credit line at a concessional rate, demonstrating alignment, trust, and long-term commitment to the company's growth cycle. Looking ahead, our goal remains clear: to grow profitably, build predictably, and invest responsibly. The coming quarters will be focused on scaling operations to match the opportunity pipeline. And as always, we will continue to apply a disciplined lens to everything we do. Thank you again for your support and trust. Moderator, we can now open for the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Agastya Dave from Cow Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. It's CAO Capital, not Cow Capital. Sir, thank you very much for the opportunity. I have one request, sir. Can you re-release your results again? Because there are a number of line items, especially in the balance sheet, which at least I could not read them properly. They are not at all clear. So kindly change the font and the format that you're using for printing these PDFs. Otherwise, it makes it very difficult to understand the results. Sir, I have two questions. One is, again, I could be wrong here because of the lack of clarity on the printed results, but there seems to be a fairly substantial drop in margins and a fairly substantial jump in all the line items regarding the working capital. So can you tell us what exactly happened there? And the second question is, given the expansion that you guys are undertaking, once the expansion is fully, the expanded facilities are fully commissioned, what would be our peak revenue for the company, for the entire company, based on that asset block? Hello.
Good afternoon, Mr. Dave. This is Barney here. Point taken on the fonts. We will definitely have a relook at what you have just given us a comment. With regards to drop in margins, I believe one of the reason why the comments are is primarily because the other operating income is not normally taken in the accounting standard as an operating income. In the other operating income in India and in Turkey, we have cash, which accrues deposit and interest, interest money on the deposits what we have. Apart from it, in Turkey, whatever is a hedge call or whatever is the difference in dollar to Turkish lira prices, which is normally hedged at the time of the contract, all the money comes, accounted into the other income, which is not normally taken as an operational income. We believe our margins are at this moment stable. And okay. With regards to the working capital, I'll ask my colleague Sarika to reply on it.
Hello. Sir, our working capital increased because of the high sale in the last quarter and which also resulted into the increasing debtors. It also due to the acquisitions of New Meru Electrical, which is reflected in the 31st March 25 figures. And which was not there in the 31st March 24 figures.
All right.
So, all right. Mr. Dave, you need to look at the balance sheet together with the revenue. Sorry, you have to look at the balance sheet in conjunction that Nehru's numbers also add to almost 250 crores of total sales. So, when you look at as a percentage on what is the last quarter revenue, you would have a fair idea.
Right. I guess I need to do the quarterly adjustments. What about the peak revenue potential of the company post the expansion?
Post the current expansion, what we have as Quality Power in a factory block, we believe we have facility to deliver almost close to 1500 crores from the current factory.
Okay.
Nehru, okay. We are anticipating we should peak out at about 450 to 500 crores. That is one of the reasons why within a month of we going in, we have already proposed a capex. The order books are supporting. The company is already sitting on more than 350 crores of order book, and which we have lost almost about 100, 150 crores in the last month because we were not able to commit deliveries. So with the capex coming in, the smaller capex, we are moving out some of our operations to our warehouses around. We are putting in a clean and a lean team right now, which can deliver another 150 crores from the same plant. But obviously, we will require a larger facility. We are in lookout for that.
So consolidated, both the entities put together post-expansion would be closer to 2,000 crores.
I agree. So that would be our peak capacity at what we are right now.
Perfect, sir. Sir, any commentary on the margins going forward, especially post-expansion? Given the scale of the expansion, I'm just wondering whether there would be some drag on the margins in the initial few months till you ramp up. How should we look at the margins going forward?
Interesting observation, Aditya. Yes, that is how the curve goes normally. We have already in the last few quarters started adding manpower, management, and people. We have started internally our own learning and training division because we anticipate we need more than 1,000 people walking in into the new facility immediately. So this will slightly drag down, but I believe the pricing power and the markets would support a lot of it. So I don't think the drag would be too much.
And so you have added all the fixed costs in terms of employees or you need to add more. So if I look at the quarterly numbers, I believe the employee cost is around 11 crores. So annualized, that would be 44 crores. So is that enough or would you be adding more?
We would be adding more because the plant what we are expanding would be almost 9x our current capacity, which means that we would need more labor, more engineers in the workforce, but we cannot absorb everybody on one go. So we are attempting to get about 100 to 200 people every quarter till we are able to reach and then progress for it because our current facilities also cannot handle more than that much of people working together.
At current labor prices, would your wage bill approach 100 crores then or would it cross it? Because again, the expansion is so large, sir, it's difficult to get a proper estimate from where we are sitting. That's why I'm asking.
So we anticipate our labor force would triple in the next 2 years. Okay. I would believe that would be a good statement.
It's a very useful statement, sir. Thank you very much, sir. And thank you for giving me the opportunity. All the best, sir. Very interesting business model. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Neme Sundar from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir. Am I audible?
Loud and clear.
Yeah, thank you, sir. So just a few questions. So firstly, you had indicated that on the revenue front, you expect to grow at the HVDC packs market growth, which was expectedly around 40 to 50%. So do you maintain that growth for the next 1-2 years?
See, HVDC normally is a three-year project timeline for us, and the end customer has a four-year project timeline. So let's assume a large vendor for a HVDC project gets about 4 years on the contract, and we are normally given a contract in about, say, 6 to 9 months from him getting the contract post-engineering. So we would see some HVDC orders coming in the next few quarters. One of the reasons why we are expanding the facility is to be able to execute it next year. So all the HVDC orders, we would see a surge in the numbers by, I would say, third quarter this year. Because at this moment, we are not able to commit capacities, but there are few orders in India we are likely to bag.
And these orders would be for reactors or for any of the other offerings that you have currently?
So for HVDC in India and most parts of the world, what we have qualified is reactors. We have also qualified for line traps. We have qualified for instrument transformers. We have qualified for medium voltage oil field transformers for special application like zigzag connected earthing transformers. So we have four products that we go into the HVDC lines. We are also attempting to add more products in that same segment.
Okay, thank you, sir. And so the current order book that you have on Meru and Quality Power, so what would be the execution timeline for the order book?
I would say approximately 15 months, give and take.
Okay. And one last question, sir. What would be the split between Quality Power and Meru revenue contribution as of now and in the next year maybe?
Meru has a higher revenue at this moment. However, the margins of Quality Power are far higher. In the next few quarters, because of the order intake that has been changed and the push that we have had internally because of the margins, I believe Meru also would deliver great margins. Not as higher as us, but far better than what they were delivering. And at a higher revenue base, that would come substantially higher.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to 2 per participant. The next question is from the line of Yashwardhan Banka from Tiger Asset. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Sir, I just wanted to understand a bit more on the legacy and the business model around it.
Nebesky is a company that we had invested about 3 years back. Nebesky is working on creating a technology called edge automation or edge computing, where there is a computer, a small computer which is fitted on every device. Basically, it is an IoT-connected device where the device is able to understand what is going in and out the data, what we say, and based on the learning of the data that is going in and out, it is able to create its own ML and intelligence. Now, we believe in the next 5 to 10 years, the substations that are in this world would slowly become, what we say, would become personless. It's like self-driving cars. The substations where you have about 4 or 5 people manning a substation, there's a shortage of people in places like Australia or, say, in Germany or Europe for manning the substations. So in these unmanned substations, all these high-voltage equipment need to discuss, talk, and communicate with the people, including during maintenance. So the manufacturers would like to connect to the device, our equipment, and talk to them. All this is possible only through IoT, which, as you are aware, is already an ongoing market. But along with IoT, there is also cybersecurity, which comes into picture. That means you cannot directly connect it. And if there is a network shutdown, the device needs to learn based on historic data and take decisions itself. That is a product that these smart kids are developing. We believe that these will be useful to us in the near future, and that's why we are investing in the technology, and they are in a technology development space. To do their bread and butter, what we say, to pay for the stuff, they sell energy management solutions. But basically, on the energy management solutions, what they are doing is they are collecting data, and based on data, they are training their data models. So that is the business they are currently doing, but the development is a different process. So it's basically an R&D expenditure from our end, our portion for our future.
Okay, got it. So is this related to something, the outage that recently happened in Spain?
The outage that happened in Spain and Portugal is because of the same problem we have been talking about in India, that the renewable energy grid cannot be connected by the traditional method to the normal networks, AC networks. It needs to have HVDC and FACTS. Even though Spain has a huge amount of asset, but still not enough. This is a disaster that is waiting to happen in most parts of the world. That is why the orders for HVDC and FACTS equipments are speaking across. Now, last, I think in March of 2025, U.K., which is a small country with about 6 crore population, released the HVDC orders for 59 billion pounds, or 650,000 crores. So this only tells you that those utilities have realized what is happening. And these are the problems that even India has started facing in some locations in Rajasthan, where the trippings have become far too common. It just doesn't get highlighted in our media as trippings like what it has done in Europe.
Understood, sir. Understood. And just one last question before I fall back in the line. So I wanted to understand, what is the internal focus on the domestic demand?
Yes, in domestic demand, we have a Make in India clause. So a lot of orders have to come to us, ideally for all the government contracts. We are likely to focus on HVDC and FACTS in India, but as I said, we have developed about 100 countries, markets, utilities. The boom and bust cycles are normally 5, 7, 10 years, but after that, you need to go and explore new markets. So we would ideally like to keep 50% domestic and 50% global. And that's why the new capacities, whatever is coming in, we believe we should be able to reach its full potential very soon.
Amazing, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Naman Parmar from Niveshaay Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Firstly, I want to know how much the coil product has been contributing in the revenue?
Coil products are, I think, more or less about 160 crores at this moment.
Okay, 160. And any lead time is there in the coil product currently?
For large HVDC and FACTS projects, we are quoting for FACTS between 12 and 15, for HVDC, 2 to 3 years.
2 to 3 years, okay. So with the current capacity coming in for these all products, transformers in the coil product in the Sangli and the Cochin, So how much revenue potential would be there after the capacity addition? Currently, it is 2,000 with both Meru and the Quality Power. With the capacity coming in, how much revenue you can do it?
As I just committed to Mr. Aditya earlier, about 1,500 plus minus crores.
Okay. After the new capacity comes, the 1,500 you can?
Yes. We are already close to our max capacity at the coil product business.
Okay. And on the order book side, overall, your order book is around 750 crores. So what's the bid pipeline for that, for both Meru and the Quality Power?
The bid pipeline for Quality Power as on last month is excess of 1,000 crores, and for Meru is excess of 400 crores.
Okay. And lastly, on the margin side, if you see on the gross level, your margin has also impacted, even though your standalone parent company has done very good. But if we see on the consolidated level, the margin has fallen. So what would be the reason for that, and what would be the sustainable margin going forward that you have guided in the quarter that you will be able to maintain 19%-20%? So you will maintain over that?
One second, Mr. Rajeshwar.
Yeah. Yeah. Consolidated level, as was answered with Bunny sir in the start of the meet, what happens that the other income effect doesn't form part of gross margin. It becomes in the net margin. So typically, when you see in the consolidated level, the gross margin is a bit lower than the standalone. So we have this, our subsidiary, Mr. Bunny, at the start of the meeting, first question addressed. So that's where the difference. Other overall, the net profit is more or less the same base.
Okay. So what margin expect for the future would be the sustainable?
Sir, with Meru coming in, Meru is coming at a lower margin, but we have a drastic improvement in the margins and the bids that and the orders that have come in. We believe the blended would still be upwards of 16%-17%. We would ideally like to target 20%, but I believe whatever the improvements we do, we will see an improvement in margin on Meru. Our margins are more or less sustainable. So the blended margins is what would be about 17%-18% is what I would say.
Okay. Understood. And on the Namiscar, so currently.
Mr. Parmar?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I should return to the question queue for a follow-up.
Okay. Yeah.
The next question is from the line of Viraj Mahadevia from MoneyGrow. Please go ahead.
Hi sir. Congratulations on fabulous results. Just for some clarity, what is your typical bid pipeline win ratio?
Depends on the sector. On HVDC, I would say is 2 or 2 in out of 10. In fact, it's right now 6 or 7 out of 10. For Meru, if they want to take in, it is almost 100% at this moment. It is how much capacity we can deliver from that factory.
Understood. And.
So that is why a lot of the customers are right now writing long-term contracts. We have announced two long-term contracts, one with Fingrid, that is Finland utility, which signed a three-year contract with us. Recently, again, a global utility from Israel signed a four-year contract with us. So the utilities, what they are doing is they are locking in capacities with companies like us for  3 to 4 years so that their equipment can be secured.
Understood. Typically, what is the order cycle? How long does it take from receiving an order in terms of your production cycles to deliver it?
Depends on the value of the order. HVDC order is north of 50 crores. It can go between 50 and 150. Fax orders can be between 20 and 50. So in general, orders are not even 5 crores.
I meant in terms of timeline. How long does it take to execute an order?
HVDC order is normally about 2 to 3 years where you bill every month. A fax order is about 12-15 months.
Okay. And so lastly, if I may, with these capacities coming online, you mentioned that there's an expansion later this year. And then the big Sangli expansion is second half of next year. Is that correct?
Correct. So we are adding additional capacity in our Cochin factory that is be able to cater to the medium voltage markets. But for the HVDC and FACTS, we will be taking orders from about 6 months time because the factory will be online by second half next year.
Understood. Thank you. All the way there.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rishabh from RBSA Investment Manager LLP. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir, currently we are facing a supply shortage in many of our products, as we understand. Just want to understand, so when do you see the demand supply nothing normalizing over how many years?
Rishabh, I think you are very invested in the electrical sector, so you've got the, you know, the secret. Yes, we are having shortages. Some of the products, the shortages are in decades. Some of the products, the shortages are in 6 months' time. Mostly we are finding shortages whenever it is related to high voltage, which is 220 kV and above. So to give you an idea, insulator, which used to be about 2 months, is now being quoted 1 year. Equipment, let's say even a fax equipment, what we used to sell in about 4 or 5 months, we are quoting 15 to 18 months nowadays. So, but as soon as you go down to high voltage, say 400 kV or 765 kV, it moves on to years now. Most of the European factory on an average are closed for 6 to 7 years. And Europe is normally the hub for all high voltage electrical equipment.
Okay, so we book for next 6 to 7 years, what your understanding is.
That is why you are seeing the boom in the Indian Class A Tire A market, because all the capacities are going abroad.
Okay. And you mentioned about this 2,000 crore in a revenue target. So over how many years can you execute that?
We are assuming that if all things go good, we should be home safe in about 4 years.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Praveen Motwani from BOI. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Sir, thanks for this opportunity. Firstly, sir, congrats on the good set of numbers. Sir, just two clarification I want. FY25 revenue is 392 crores. So, sir, on the existing capacity that you have, how much revenue we can do? Sorry, you have already mentioned, but I have missed out somehow.
Praveen, thank you for your belief on us. You have been a very supportive investor. I wish to thank you and your team for that. The current capacities, what we are sitting on the coil products is stretched. With Nehru, we are able to create some additional capacities with our small capacity addition that we are having in Cochin. We believe next year our internal budgets are north of 700 crores.
So existing facility can reach to 700 crores of revenue?
Not existing facility. The budget for next year for the company is north of 700 crores in revenue. And by next year, most of the capacities would come online, which means we can dream bigger.
Okay. And you are saying ki after the capex is completed, so you will achieve the revenue of 2000 crores at a peak level, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So this 2000 includes both your standalone, that is quality, and the Meru.
Correct. And this does not include any other acquisitions that we may pursue.
Okay. Got it. And sir, the last question is, what explains this increase in the other income in this quarter that you have reported?
So the increase in other income is directly proportional to Turkish operations of ours, not Indian operations. We have more than 100 crores in cash. I think it's more than 150 crores. So that cash will deliver us some interest. I believe that will be a part of the interest income. But apart from this income, whenever there is an inflation of almost 27% officially in Turkey, so when your contracts are being signed, all the contracts are in dollars, your supplier is paid in dollars. The contract currency is lira because the government has banned dollars in that country for foreign contracts. But we get an exchange linked Turkish lira. So whatever is the difference of the exchange linked Turkish lira is paid to us as other income or as a exchange bill. So that is treated as other income. That is nothing but an operational income due to our ongoing activities. To also clarify, out of our cash, about 70 to 75 crores is the cash and cash equivalent that is currently in Turkey and not more. So out of that, you would see almost close to 50, 60 crores is other income. That much money cannot be delivered by, you know, a simple cash in hand.
Got it. Got it. Thank you and all the best, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Arthik Sadia, an individual investor. Please go.
Thank you for the opportunity. On the bookkeeping side, I had a question. Our EPS is shown as 9.11, but for the PAT and the number of shares that we have, it comes around 13.75. So if I'm missing something, or would you like to give us something on the controlling asset and non-controlling asset side? Hello?
Yeah. Sir, it is, you are telling about 7,27,000 number of shares, no?
Yeah, 7 crore 27 lakhs, yes.
Yes. So, sir, that is the weighted average number of shares, because we have the issue allotted during the month of February. So, for 38 days, that weighted average number of newly issued shares of 52,94,100, which comes to around 5,51,000 number of shares. So that is included in 7 crore 27 lakhs number of shares. That is as per index.
Yeah, but still the diluted EPS calculation, I'm not clear. 9.11. 9.10, if I'm not wrong. Can you...
Sir,
is it something to do with the controlling stake in the subsidiary of Turkey or something like that?
Yes, sir.
Combination of both. But what we'll do, we will again check once again, come back to you. But you're correct. It is a combination of two, controlling, non-controlling interest also, and also the pro rata or weighted average. It's a combination of both.
But ideally, if you are declaring the PAT, complete PAT of your Turkey subsidiary, then the EPS calculation should be also on the complete side of the PAT. So I can get more clarity on that.
Yeah, I will give clarity, but we have to keep in mind it is the main company, the Qualitic Power.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, well, I have got your point. I will check and revert to on this question. Yeah.
Right, right. And second question is, any guidelines for the year 25? How much of top line could we achieve? Is that
Sadhya, I just declared about 700 crore, north of 700 crore.
Your pipeline, if I'm not wrong.
No. That is our targets, that our revenue should be north of 700 crores. So the band is between 700 and 850 crores is our target band on the revenue. The order book as of right now is 750 crores. At this moment, which is 2 months into the year, we still have about 10 more months to book orders. It's the first quarter of our booking orders. So I believe we will show a very high order book every quarter.
This is without any further acquisitions, right? If at all you... Go ahead with any other acquisition.
Without any further acquisition, or whatever we plan will be a bonus on top of it.
Right. Great. Thanks. Thanks. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanjan Yadav, an individual investor. Please.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yes.
Hello.
Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah. Yeah, sir. My question is, who are other companies which are making coal products in India?
For HVDC and fax application, we are the only company making coal products in India. 220 kV and above, we are the only company that is making this products in India. That can be checked by Power Grid, Adani and Sterlite, who are the HVDC and fax operators in this country.
Okay, sir. And you mentioned that our order pipeline is north of 1,000 crores. So we will get complete 1,000 crores plus. It will come to us only, sir?
Our quote pipeline is 1,000 crores, sir, at this current moment. We believe a good section of it should come to us.
Okay, okay. And sir, can you bifurcate the revenue in terms of what the contribution from coil products, transformers, and power quality solutions?
Our current focus is only coil products where there's a huge peak demand. Our transformer products are minuscule. Our power quality is at this moment about 40-45% of our total revenue.
Okay, and you want to take it to 20-25% as you mentioned in last phone call, sir.
Correct, sir. As we grow on our power products and manufacturing business, our solutions business would slowly start going down as a percentage, even though they would have a growth.
Okay, sir. And margins in coil products are how much, sir?
Sir, it is already displayed. What are the margins? One second. Roughly north of 20-22%, sir, or higher.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yashwardhan Banka from Tiger Asset. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. So just wanted to get an update on the Statcom Energy acquisition and if you're going through.
Sir, we have a certain, what we say, process and acquisition, including sometimes we may request the promoters to have a share swap in a few years, where we normally intend to buy 100% of the company over a few years. So we've had discussions which are detrimental both to us and the company. So even though it's a good company, it did not fit in the investment philosophy of how we normally do a takeover. So we have decided to mutually call it off.
Okay, got it. And just one more question, I wanted to understand what is our average client acquisition timeline?
We do not have a average customer acquisition. Most of the customers who are already there have been acquired on a utility space. As I said, there are 100 utilities more or less which control the world, and we are more or less approved in most of these. It is how much capacity we can deliver to these guys as and when they are having projects. So to give you an India, in India suddenly there's peak. There is also England is peak, Netherlands is peaking on HVDC. So how much capacity we can give compared to the size of projects. So sometimes one customer is able to keep your factory full for 5 years or 10 years. It's that kind of business in HVDC.
Understood. So answer, if I understood this correctly, for the year for 26 and moving ahead, are we projecting our margins to be sustainable around 15-16%? Is that right?
I believe so. That is what we are forecasting.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jayanand Doshi from Chris Portfolio. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Like, we are currently paying around 10-11% taxes on a consolidated basis. So can you explain the reason for the lower tax rate?
Hello. Yes, sir. Our foreign subsidiary is basically a technology company, and which is the certified R&D center. And they are doing the research and development expenses. So for that, their country is offering some taxation benefits. And that's why the total on consolidated basis, the tax expense is lower.
Okay.
So for all our Indian subsidiaries, we have the same level of tax rate of about 27% give and take. The Turkish company, because of the projects we undertake and the investments we do, has almost close to nil tax rate. It's basically an R&D benefit which government of India removed a few years back, but that government continues to have.
Okay. Got it. And second question is pertaining to the R&D budget which we are targeting going ahead, and due to the benefit which we are getting due to the R&D expenses we incur in Turkey, how long it will be available to us, and when will we start paying normalized taxes in Turkey?
For our historical memory, sir, in the last 10 years, I think we have been using the benefit. What we say, I cannot comment upon what the government policies would change, but I'm sure R&D is a very crucial to most European countries for development of technologies. We have developed great technologies there, including SCADA, SVC, STATCOMs, and the government supports that initiative. they have far more programs on R&D and actually a lot more funding on R&D in those parts of the world. So I believe that in the near future, I don't think any probability of change in policies.
Okay, and what would be our R&D budget which we are targeting?
In India, because we do not have any R&D budget per se, where there is a benefit to it, most of the R&D what we do gets into your P&L. Most of the expenses are used in our P&L and we don't capitalize it separately.
Okay, okay. Got it. Thank you for the detailed explanation.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Abhyankar from Financial Services Firm. Please go ahead. Mr. Nikhil, your line has been unmuted. Please go ahead with your question. Mr. Nikhil, your line has been unmuted. Please go ahead with your question. Since there is
Hello.
No response from the current party, we move on to the next question. The next question is from the line of Harshit Sachdeva from Columbus Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible? Hello.
Yes, you may go ahead with the question.
Oh, hi, sir. Great set of numbers, sir. Been following the company since Q3. I'm sorry if you've been hearing this too much, but these are the kind of times we live in. About Turkey, I mean, you've already mentioned it in the opening remarks as well, but just wanted to clarify what are the conversations you're having, and I hope that the backlash is only limited to social media rhetoric and nothing gets affected on ground, because like you said, there are a lot of businesses other than QP as well operating for India. And on follow-up on that would be like any bifurcation of numbers for the Turkey operations, like how much does it contribute to revenue, profitability? I mean, you mentioned tax before this. So just a bit of clarity on that, because that's the environment right now.
Oh, sorry, point taken, Harshal. I can clarify two things to you. What we say, the first is we are the only company in Turkey making SVCs and STATCOMs. We are the only company. So the industrial market of Turkey do not have options other than us, unless they go to Chinese. As a local company, we are preferred in 90% of the contracts which they bid in. That is point one. From what we have had discussions with our partners there and our employees, the backlash from Turkey is not so much. The social media of Turkey was with a couple of anchors, but in the country, it is still not covered in the news media. In India, there has been a backlash against us, including one of our anchor investors who decided to exit because of our Turkish heritage. But however, from an Indian operation, we are not exposed much to the Turkish market in such a way that what we say, the Turkish guys cancel our contracts, our total offers at this moment to them. It's less than 5 crores out of a 1,000 crore pipeline that we have. So the impact is technically at this moment negligible, unless the Turkish government decides to, again support something against what we say Indian investments in Turkey. But then we are not alone in that country.
Cool. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dipankar from CCVIM. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity, sir. Sir, in the document you have mentioned funding inorganic growth through unidentified acquisitions. So could you please provide some color on the type of companies or technologies you are targeting for future acquisitions? Like are they based on the geographical regions or what?
Sir, we believe 50% organic growth and 50% inorganic growth historically is what we have been doing also. The acquisition normally we do not do it for expansion of geography or expansion of markets. These are stuff that we could do cheaper with our own selves. What we do is for acquisition of technology so that we increase our bouquet of offering in the HVDC, FACS and critical power transmission segments. So there are some interesting companies that we are evaluating, including battery energy storage, on the best power electronics, on component levels on high voltage manufacturing. We are evaluating a lot of companies at this moment with us. We have formed the M&A committee under our director, Mr. Raj Iyer, who used to be on the board of ABB Switzerland and GE Paris. He's run factories even in China. He was president of ABB Japan for some time. So we are evaluating one by one, but as I said, culture, price, and the technology should fit in our portfolio before we make an acquisition. One of the reasons why we funded as promoters our own CapEx is primarily because we wanted to keep the free cash and the free profit for further inorganic growth rather than putting all our money into the CapEx.
Okay. And sir, I believe 25-30% of your revenue comes from your international market. So can you please provide the country-wise revenue segregation, and do you expect any change in it moving forward?
It keeps changing every year because the size of some of these projects can be quite large. To give you an idea, a couple of years back, America was our biggest market. Last year, Europe was our biggest market. This year, I believe Middle East and Australia is our biggest market. Maybe next year, we are looking at India being our biggest market. So it depends on the project size and volume. Based on some of these large projects, our revenues are minuscule. So one or two large projects can tilt the company anyways.
That's a last question. How does the high proportion of international sales impact your overall margin profile compared to domestic sales?
Our margins across markets are similar. It is not a special price for domestic or a different price for global, because we have to keep in mind that in global markets, in some places, let's say LATAM or say Southeast Asia, we may also face Chinese pressure. So the margins are more or less similar. We have recently got a one-year blanket with a utility of Hong Kong, where we fought the Chinese in similar margins. So from margin profile, it is not different, but from a sustainability profile of a company where we intend to grow over a period of 10 years, more markets, more large utilities means that every time we have an inorganic acquisition, our cost of customer acquisition is zero. We have a sales channel that can do some products. Sell in certain regions and do not sell in other regions. So we need to have a spread of regions.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. We'll get back in queue.
Thank you, Deepankar.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yashwardhan Banka from Tiger Asset. Please go ahead.
Thanks again, sir. So just for my clarity, and sorry for coming back again. So the margins that we are guiding for, that is around 15-16%, excluding the income that is shown in other income from Indos, is that correct?
That is excluding the other income of interest from them. Other than interest, all the other income is nothing but operational income for us. Those will start getting cleared up into income, I believe, in the next 18 to 24 months. Because the inflation is coming under control in Turkey, and the IAS 29, which is the IFRS equivalent of reporting, needs the country to be in 100% hyperinflation for 3 years to be able to go into that module. Once they clean up that, I believe it will go into operational income from our reporting parameters.
Got it. And sir, what are the margins from Indox?
They are into high-end power electronic products, as I said, SVC, STATCOMs, and power quality. They have been traditionally down 25% plus, but this year we are looking at about 20-22%, primarily because of the inflation-related cost at that market.
Okay, but sustainable moving ahead, say 2-3 years?
Historically, it has always been about 20-25%.
Got it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Meer from Prithvi Finmart. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. And sorry to repeat the question again. Can you please give some clarity in simple language regarding the reporting principle that you are following for the Turkish operation in the other income?
So, Meer, am I audible, Mehir?
Yeah.
See, I have about 75 crore rupees in cash, between 70 and 75, the cash and cash equivalent, including FDs. Hmm. Okay? That generate approximately about 12 crores, give and take, as interest and investment income.
Mm-hmm.
Anything over that is an operational income. When I say operational income, my all the electrical equipment vendors across the globe, including all our, if I buy copper, aluminium, steel, oil in rupees, the rupees is hedged to a dollar. Like basically, I need to pay in dollar equivalent. All are LN. Same way, when they have to buy a equipment in Turkey to any vendor, they have to pay in dollars. Okay. When the country went into hyperinflation, most countries tend to ensure that no foreign currency contracts are signed, because that means forex outgo. So they sign a contract in Turkish lira, but they write a countervailing cont that equivalent to so much dollars. So at the end of the contract, because you know, even my supplier is also equivalent to the dollars, my customer is also equivalent to the dollars. So your margin as a percentage is normally fixed, what we call as a hedge, say plain vanilla option hedge. Okay. But what we say, whether I make profit or loss is immaterial. If the currency goes upward or downward, the in the contract, I what we say, the customer pays equivalent of that. That's all. So the margins are always protected.
Okay. Okay. Got it. Got it. That's it from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Hello. We have covered all the key developments over the past quarter and outlined our outlook as we move forward in this journey. Our focus, as I reiterated, remains firmly on execution of the numbers that have been committed, innovation on a technology front, and creating long-term value for our investors. If any of you have any further questions or would like to meet the management, please feel free to reach out to our IR Churchgate partners. And we look similarly to have a continued engagement with you guys in the next few quarters. Thank you and good day.
Thank you. On behalf of ICICI Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.